prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 2 August 2021. Hard to believe, folks, about another month of summer and it's going to be going. Heavy wintertime before you know it. And my, how time flies. And whether we consider ourselves having good time or bad time, time does fly. But nonetheless, you're in for a real treat tonight. We're going to bring up a guest. I've read his articles in the past. I know who he is from his articles and his history. And you're in for a real treat. I'll tell you about him in just a minute. I don't announce it until I get to him because I want to bring him in and let you see what kind of treat you're in for. Before I get to our guest tonight, who is a doctor, by the way, we're going to have Bible study this weekend. First time in a few weeks, I know that. We're going to have this weekend and next weekend because the next 2 weekends I won't be here. But this coming weekend, you can join us if you will. And we're going to have Pastor Otter Pulaski join us via Skype for the second hour to give us an update on what's happening with him and his impending arrest if he goes back into Canada. You don't want to miss that, folks. We'll have current events as always and prayer time and praise reports. They're going to have then Dr. Pulaski on, so you don't want to miss that. Please don't miss that. And you can call and listen on the phone if you want. If you have live stream, if you have it on computer, just go to PastorButch.com. PastorButch.com. Find live stream and click on there, and there we will be. You'll see a number on the screen where you can call and ask questions, make comments. That's what it's there for. We want you to join us. And if you can't do that, you can call us and listen to us on the phone at 339-209-5013. That's 339-209-5013. You don't want to miss this upcoming event with Pastor Pulaski. I promise you don't. And don't forget, we're going to be in Missouri, Lord willing, this coming month. Of course, this month already, not coming month, this month. We're going to be there on the 29th and 30th, speaking at Bards Fest, B-A-R-D-S Fest. You can go to bardsfm.com/Bards Fest. And see the schedule. We're going to be speaking at the St. Charles, Missouri, at the Family Arena. That's at 2002 Arena Parkway, St. Charles. And then also at the drive-in at St. Louis, Missouri, at 555 St. Louis Mills Boulevard. That's in a little town called Hazelwood. 555 St. Louis Mills Boulevard in Hazelwood. So there'll be two events. We're expecting around 15,000 people to be there. We're going to have some great guests like Pastor Casper McLeod, Pastor Greg Locke. We're going to have Dale Bigtree, Dr. Pam Popper, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Mike Lindale, Dr. Carrie Madej, Shima Nugent, Sheriff Mack, and a whole bunch of them folks that you might want to come and see. I'll be like a little old mule from the country running among thoroughbreds, but I'll be there anyway, do the best I can to give what our Father says give out. So come and join us at Bard's Fest, and I will share more information about that besides the website, but you can go to Bard's, BARDSFM.com/ Bard's, BARDS Fest, FEST, to find out what's going on. Maybe perhaps a phone number you can call soon for questions. I know the tickets will be available soon, so it's a few weeks away. Hope you come and join us. And don't forget the teaching we're going to offer the rest of this month, and this when I'm done with this, when this month is done. America, why will ye die? God Almighty asked Israel that question twice in Ezekiel. Why will ye die? Why do you insist on committing suicide, Israel? He's saying the same thing to America today. Why are you committing suicide? It's a four-hour teaching, folks, straight out of the Bible, with scriptures lined up with current events to show you where we are in time. I guess you'd call that a modern New Testament prophecy in the sense that I can take scripture and show events. And I'm not predicting the future. I'm showing current events. I can tell what the future is going to bring, though. An unrepentant nation, I can tell exactly what it's going to bring. A nation forgets God is turned into hell. So this four-hour teaching for $12.50 on DVD or CD, but I would recommend DVD. You're going to be, I think, astounded at what the Bible says that was written 2,000 to 4,000 years ago that's so relevant for the day. Oh, my folks, the Bible is better than tomorrow's headlines. It really is. So it's available if you want it. You can call 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. And one more announcement. We finally have got something in. I've been trying to find now for several months. We have a T-shirt. It's a royal blue T-shirt. I don't want to call it really. It's a pretty blue T-shirt. But on the front is a full collar picture of a lion standing in the midst of sheep who are wearing masks. The lion is not wearing a mask. Across the top it says, "No fear." On the bottom it quotes 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For God has not given the spirit of fear." This T-shirt speaks for you when it comes to fearing all these man-made hoaxes that you're trying to bring on us to scare us into obedience. The T-shirt's available right now. Not exactly sure on the price, around $20, I think it'll be. The beautiful shirts. We have all sizes from small to XXL. And the T-shirts will be available, simply sent out this week. When you get the orders in, you let us know. And I will say $21.95 will cover it now. I'm pretty sure that'll be enough. But you give us a call at 800-777-4403, 304-846-4448, and give your testimony to everybody who sees you that you refuse to walk in fear. Let them see that the line of the tribe of Judah dwells in you, and you're not backing down. This is what this is all about, folks. It's to make a statement in public without saying a word. We'll see how many people like these shirts. They're available right now by calling us tomorrow and asking for them. We have them. Just give us your size, and you can get whatever size you need. When we run out, we'll get some more. With that, I think it's a very important message. I really do. My guest tonight, many of y'all probably don't know about him. His name is Dr. George Barna. This man has credentials more than I could ever begin to tell you about. He is absolutely one of the best-known writers, I think, out there as far as Christian values and background, trying to warn the people what's happening to the country and trying to get people's eyes open to what's coming down in this world. And he's written an article here. It's a Culture Research Center. It says study, which of culture and biblical philosophies are seducing the most American Christians? We're going to discuss that tonight, folks, because Christians are being seduced by a worldview that Christians should not have. And it's very easily done. We have all been suckered into it for many years. Some of us are starting to see that and trying to back out of it, folks, but I promise you, there's no stones being thrown here because we've all been misled by so many different things to believe worldviews that aren't godly, even though we think they are. And Dr. George Barna, welcome to tonight's program. We're so glad to have you tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, Pastor Butch, I appreciate you having me. It's good to be with you.
Well, I tell you what, my friend, when I looked this article, I read about it, I thought, man, this man's right on the money. I mean, you have been out there in the front lines for quite a while, and you obviously are very well qualified to speak on 9 different issues. But before we get into the article itself, tell the folks a little bit about Dr. George. Who are you, your background, where you come from, and what you've been into?
Well, I was born many, many eons ago on the East Coast and raised there, had one winter too many, moved to California. In some ways, I've lived to regret that. But, you know, nevertheless, the good news is that along the way, while I was in grad school, I met Jesus Christ. He became my Lord and Savior. And as a result of that, was able to take the skills that I'd learned by managing political campaigns and then through graduate school courses to do a lot of polling and public opinion research. And that's what I've been focused on for the last 40 years, particularly what I believe God's called me to do, which is to understand the intersection of faith and culture in the United States. And so I've been privileged to be able to do literally hundreds and hundreds of nationwide surveys trying to understand people's faith and how they do or don't apply it every day of their life. And now as I'm getting on in years, I want to be able to finish well. And so I sat back a couple of years ago and said, you know, in order to finish well, I really need to devote the rest of my time on earth to what is going to matter the most. And so reviewed the last 300 national research studies I'd done and took notes about what did I learn from each of those studies, then looked at all those notes and realized there's a pattern here. And the thread that ran through most of it was that Americans are losing the battle in America for our culture and for souls because we're not paying attention to worldview. And so most Americans, including most people who we would consider to be born-again Christians based on what they believe about salvation and their relationship with Christ, most of those people do not possess a biblical worldview.
Amen.
And so the decisions they're making are based on what the world is teaching them, what the world is seducing them to believe, what the world is persuading them to do, and consequently the church is not being what it should be. It's not having the impact it should have, and our nation is suffering the consequences. So my research is really focused on that. How can we turn these things around based on looking more succinctly at worldview and looking at what does it take to transform a culture? How does God do that, and what's the role that each of us individually can play in that process?
You know, Doctor, what you said about the Christians have incorrect worldviews, what the sad part of it is, they don't know they do. That's the really sad part. They don't know they do. You worked with, I know you said you worked, of course you worked, I hate to even use the word politics, but you worked in politics for a while with different things, with the different candidates over the years. And before we get in too far into this article, what did you learn from working with politicians?
That could be a long conversation.
Loaded question.
You know, actually, there were some very important things that I learned. I went into it because my preconceived notion is they're all liars, they're all cheaters, and I want to get in on the inside and see it and call it for what it is. And what I discovered is that there are a lot of really good people who hold public office. Certainly not everybody. I did see some underhanded stuff, some deceptive stuff. But there are a lot of these people that sacrifice higher paying jobs, more time with their families, a lot of different things in their life because they do want to serve people. And so for a while I was the chief of staff for a particular politician. I worked for a committee for a while as their chief policy analyst, doing those kinds of things. And I learned there are some people here who really do have good hearts and want to help people live better lives. Now, as a believer now, I wasn't at the time, but as a believer now, I would say, but that can only take you so far if you don't have Jesus Christ at the center.
Amen. Amen.
So, you know, there were a lot of good human efforts that were being made, but ultimately they got sidetracked in many cases because Christ wasn't the compelling reason for why they were doing these things. And therefore they didn't have his value system. They didn't have his belief system. And therefore, they could get persuaded to believe things that were wrong.
Well, very well put. And I know that most of them don't know who Christ is. That's a given. I don't care what they say. Yeah. By their fruit, you shall know them. But what's really even, I won't say as sad, but it is bad, they don't know what the Constitution says, the Bill of Rights are. They have no idea. Yeah. They swear to uphold something that they never read. What kind of good and results can you have out of somebody that says you're going to uphold something that they never read? That's called being a hypocrite, hypocritical. And if they don't even know the moral basis of life, and it comes out of God's Word, there's no hope for that individual to do a whole lot to help mankind, is there?
Not really. And, you know, even looking at the research that we're going to talk about tonight, one of the things that comes out of it is the fact that most Americans, a huge majority of Americans, believe there's no such thing as absolute moral truth.
I know,
and,
yes.
Yeah, and when you look at our leaders, if our leaders have that same perspective, which most of them appear to, then what are they going to base their truth decisions on? Well, we know from the research it's their feelings. And there's nothing that could be more deceptive than relying on our feelings.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a lot of people go to churches where it runs on feelings. If they're not shouting, jumping up, down, and doing all sorts of shenanigans, they don't think they had a good church service. Church service is not always about feeling good, is it? It's about obeying the Word of God and learning the Word of God and conforming to the words you've learned. You said something here in this article that you sent here that people, and this includes Christians and me too, have a hard time surrendering themselves over to Christ to fulfill His will and let Him run their lives. We have a hard time doing that, don't we?
We do. I mean, one of the things that I've found over the course of 40-plus years now of doing this kind of national research on faith and values and beliefs and how we live our lifestyles is that a lot of people love to embrace the notion of being a Christian, but when you look at what they really believe and how they're willing to implement it in their lives, it falls apart at the point where they really have to become broken people. Yes. We live in a culture that tells us brokenness is for losers. If you're a broken person, you're weak. You can do better than that. You need to buck up and get on with it and just strengthen yourself, when the truth of the matter is you can't strengthen yourself. And God wants us to be broken. Broken of what? Sin, self, and society. And so if we're willing to allow Him to put us in circumstances where, because He loves us so much, He wants us to be broken enough that we recognize our utter and complete need for Him, then we can actually make progress. But it's only by being broken of those things first.
You know, I did a teaching several months ago, maybe a year ago, entitled S-I-N, which we know is called a sin. But it was self-indulgent narcissist. That's what sin is. We please ourselves, nobody else, don't care about anybody else. And even though we call ourselves Christians, now, folks, I'm not throwing stones, I'm talking about me too, we still have a tendency to be narcissists because we want good, what's good for us. We don't necessarily always ask Christ what He wants for us. We want what's going to make us make more money, get a bigger home, more security in this world. I know, because I've been there. And that's a nature of man. So it's a battle to overcome this. Yes, being broken, oh my, Doctor, you hit right on the head there. Being broken is not always easy. But I've learned that the more that I've practiced and learned to surrender my life to Christ, the easier my life is. That makes sense to you?
Absolutely. And you know, what's interesting is that the biggest research project I've ever done in my life, I did on the question of how does God transform people's lives? Because I've been so frustrated, because over all these years I've been doing research, I don't, frankly, see all that many lives that have been transformed. And so I wanted to study, is God still doing that? Now, biblically, of course, we know that He is. But I wanted to figure out, if I could, how that happens. And so we tracked the spiritual lives of 17,000 randomly chosen people across the country to try to figure out what is the process that God uses, if it's even possible to identify. And what I found is that there is a process that we all go through. But when we get to the point where we need to be broken, most people who have been doing great up until that point, they realize, oh my goodness, I've got to be broken of sin and or self and or society's clutches on me. They don't want to do that. And so they pull a U-turn. They turn around and they either leave the Christian faith or they leave the religious sphere altogether. They want nothing to do with it because it's too scary for them. And as I looked at how God transforms lives, what I discovered is in order to be broken, you've got to go through pain. You've got to suffer. And what I found is that there are five or six common experiences that everybody that I was able to survey who had experienced brokenness successfully, they'd gone through either bankruptcy or divorce or the death of someone whom they were very close to, and it was a very painful death for that person. Spending time in prison. I mean, these were the kinds of experiences we found that broken people went through, and it was because of how tough those experiences were that they realized, I don't have what it takes. I really need God to be in command of my life. I'm only going to make it forward if I've got His power bringing me forward. I don't have the power. I don't have the authority. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the depth of what it takes to be successful in life without Him. And that to me was a real eye-opening lesson.
Amen. And it's an ongoing process too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And interestingly, I found that a lot of people who were broken once, they started down the path with Christ the right way, and then they got full of themselves again. And they needed to go through another brokenness experience to be reminded, it's not about you. It's about Him. We are here for His purposes,
Amen.
Not our purposes. We're not here to have pleasure in this life. We're here to have joy in this life. But the kind of joy that you have only when you know and you live for the purposes of God Himself.
And folks, this is biblical. It talks about the potter and the potter's, the vessel in hand, the potter's clay. That's who we are. Sometimes the vessel must be broken and reshaped the way He wants us, and He puts us through the fire again to remold us. And that is not an easy thing, but that's what we're supposed to do. And I certainly have a lot more to learn myself. Believe me, folks, being put through the fire is not pleasant. But you come out on the other end with a much purer, much more pure product, molded to be the vessel of our Father's will. And that's what's important. But you said in some of these things that I've seen so much, that people actually simply have faith in faith. They don't worry about faith in Christ. They have faith that they're going to be all right. They have faith, whatever. In other words, there's no real faith there. It doesn't matter what you believe in, as long as you have faith. And that's what I've seen that in so-called churches. Just have faith. But the Bible doesn't say that, does it?
Absolutely not. In fact, in our study here, what we found is that almost 2 out of 3 Americans believe that it's more important that you have some faith than which faith you have. And 2 out of 3 Americans believe all faiths are of equal value. Now, both of those are lies, because the Bible teaches us that there's only one true faith, and that's faith in God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, and we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So if you don't have that kind of faith, you don't have the real faith yet. And so we can't be seduced by a culture that says, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Mormonism, Christian Science, doesn't matter what faith you have, just get some faith. That's all that matters. Well, a lot of people have found out the hard way that's actually not the truth of the matter. But, you know, Pastor, a lot of it comes down to the fact that many Americans, in fact, a majority of Americans, have become uncomfortable with any kind of a faith that claims to be the exclusive way.
Amen.
And
yes.
Yet, you know, the Bible teaches that Christianity is the one true faith and that Jesus is the only way. It doesn't say you have to feel comfortable with that. It doesn't say you have to like that. You know, I was born in New York City. We have an expression there. You don't have to like it. You just have to deal with it. And that's the way this is. You may wish that Jesus wasn't the only way. You may think that Jesus isn't the only way. But when we look at absolute moral truth, which is what the Bible gives us, it's absolutely convincing that God is the only way through Christ. There is no other way. You can try all you want. You can prefer other faiths all you want. But it's only those who put their total faith and trust in Jesus Christ who are going to come out on the other end in good shape.
Well, very well said. And that's that, and that is, you're right. That is hard because that makes you an enemy of a lot of people that you don't mean to be enemies of. But when you stick to what you know is right and the truth according to the Word of God, you're going to make enemies. As I've always said, you can tell a man not just by friends about who the enemies are. You know, you can tell that very clearly. But whenever you dismiss absolute truth, and this has been years ago. I haven't been on the radio very long. I was only on one station at a time, and I had a couple of professors come up to the radio station interview me because of my stand on Christianity. And one was an older gentleman, and he was kind of, we'll say, cocky, arrogant. The young guy was a pretty decent guy. And we were talking about the Bible and truths. He said, there are no absolute truths. Well, I looked at him and I said, are you absolutely sure about that? And he didn't know what to say. And the guy beside him giggled a little bit. So I made this old man's face turn kind of red. But that shut him up, you know. He couldn't. Yeah. There was no answer to that. But there are absolute truth, and they're written in the Word of God. And I don't care what anybody wants to say. Sin is still sin. Right is still right. God's law hasn't changed. God's judgments haven't changed. His justice hasn't changed. So if we start accepting there are other things that are truth besides His Word, we destroy ourselves and our children and our nation, do we not?
True story. And, you know, one of the things that I find is that people really struggle with the idea of having a place where truth comes from. And so they look to television, they look to movies, they look to celebrities, they look to athletes, they look to politicians, they look to preachers. I mean, they look to all kinds of places to try to figure out who's got the truth when they're missing the point that God is truth. And so if we want to really understand truth, we need to understand God, because it's in His nature and His character and what He does that we can begin to grasp truth. And He even made it simpler for us than that by giving us His Word. He inspired particular individuals to write down what truth is so that we could read it, we could study it, we could talk about it, and therefore we could live it. So it's not as hard as a lot of people make it. And, you know, again, Pastor, one of the sad things is that these days in America, most people turn to their feelings to figure out truth.
True.
Yeah, they say there is no absolute moral truth. There's no objective truth. It's all up to me. I'm the only one who can know the truth for me. And we've all heard this expression, you know, it's my truth. Well, you know, the real truth is you and I don't have any truth. Only God has truth, and we need to live according to His.
Well, that's called humanism. It's all through the country. There, folks, there are only two worldviews, humanistic and Christian. And I'm going to do a teaching in the next Bible study soon on the two different worldviews. But that dismissal of absolute truth means that we had no foundation to build on, Doctor. I'll hang on to the break. Let's break. Talk about what a fast segment. Back at the break, folks, if you have any questions, comments for Dr. Barna, 844-769-2944.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best storable foods available for all the right reasons. Go to themanna.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, numanna.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what
I'm saying. I talked to Dr. George Barna, and they said one of the most pleasant interviews I've had in a long time. This man is right on when it comes to biblical thoughts and direction. I know I didn't say he's perfect. Neither I am, neither am I, neither are you. But he's striving to do what's right and grow in Christ. If you're getting that done, you're achieving something, because growing in Christ can be painful, frustrating, and sometimes a little bit scary. Because you step out sometimes all by yourself in a crowd. And you feel like a June bug in a chicken coop. Everybody's after you. That's just the way it is. But Dr. George Barna is a man that I've read his articles. I'm just so thrilled to have him on tonight. He's a very, very busy man. But Dr. George, before we go any further, tell the folks how they can contact you and get a hold of you.
They can get a hold of all the research. We put it up online for free. So if people would like to read a lot of that, they can go to culturalresearchcenter.com, and all of that is there. And, they can contact me through that website as well. So we'd love for people to know what's going on. We just put out a book about what's going on in worldview in America. You know, I've got 55 books, so there's all kinds of different things.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's all based on different research studies that we've done. So, again, we're trying not to be man-centered. We're trying to be Christ-centered. We want to understand how people are interacting with God's truth and the experiences that God gives us and the opportunities he gives us. And we can do a better job. And so we're hoping the research will open our eyes to some of those opportunities.
You know, brother, the biggest problem I have about being God-centered is getting me out of the way.
Amen.
You know, that's true. But folks, it's culturalresearchcenter.com. culturalresearchcenter.com. Check his information out. Thank you, find it very interesting. And the phone line's open at 844-769-2944. Now, I know you've seen this a lot, and I want to jump this a little bit ahead, maybe a couple other points I want to make in a little bit, but we're seeing in the churches, God help us, many mainline denominations who have undermined the foundations of God's Word, on the simplest of things, which is biblical morality. We've seen denominations by the dozens surrender and compromise with the world view, on a humanist world view, on sexual purity, on marriage, on sodomy and lesbianism. We've seen the churches compromise down and say, well, we're all okay. God loves us all. He is love. So come on in just like you are, and you're going to be all right. We've seen that happen. And brother, not only has this undermined the culture of this country and destroyed the morals of this society of our nation, it's turned us into hell. It's sending souls to hell, is it not?
Well, it is, unless you ask Americans. I mean, one of the things that I look at in every single study we do is what people think is going to happen to them after they die. And one of the fascinating things to me is, as we've looked at that, what we've discovered is that only 2% of Americans believe that they're going to go to hell after they die. Now, it's not up to me to judge. It's not up to you to judge. So that's not the point. The point here is that people don't believe in the consequences of sin. And part of the reason for that is less and less our research is showing that Christian churches in this country are even bothering to teach about sin. And so we've got entire generations that are growing up now that have never heard a single sermon about what sin is, about why it matters, and about what they can do about it. And that's, I mean, that's pathetic. Our country was built on pastors having the opportunity and fathers and mothers having the opportunity to teach young people there is such a thing as sin, and you better be careful about it. Here's what it is. Here's what you do Amen. About it. The antidote is Jesus.
Well, you know, they want to teach God's love and God's all grace. They don't want to say anything about sin because it upset the crowd. But they want everybody to believe that they're okay. Just do more good works than you did bad works, and to put them in the scale, you're going to be all right. That's basically what they're teaching. And if there are no more absolutes, and right now I'm just talking about sexual purity, if there are no more absolutes in sexual purity, and you can see that in our young people today, my gosh, they're so confused, they don't know whether they're boys or girls. I mean, that's where we are today. And we have transgenders, weightlifters in the Olympics. We have sexual deviants on a homosexual choir in California, your state, singing a song that we're coming for your children. We see that they're that bold now. Pedophiles coming for your children. And yet the churches, the denomination, not all of them, but many of the denominations have softened on that. And now invite them into the church to be partakers of the church. They may have them behind the pulpits. And we have church members who are married two and three times. They don't know it's adultery. I don't know, brother. We went off base a long time ago. Before you and I were born, we started off base. But in the last 30, 40 years, would you have believed what you're seeing now?
No, it's gone absolutely Looney Tunes. And I'll tell you, Pastor, part of it is that we see out of our research, 7 out of 10 Americans now believe that people are basically good. Now, that's a direct contradiction to what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
Only one out of 4 people in America believe that human beings are born into sin and can only be saved from the consequences of that sin by Jesus Christ. Again, a direct contradiction to what the Bible teaches. So when you believe that people are basically good and that God is going to take care of everybody, you don't have to do anything special. You don't have to change how you feel or how you live. You're leading yourself astray. And where we see it so directly is, as you've raised, morality in America. We know that today, for instance, 68% of all Americans believe that premarital sex between two people who are not married, but who think that they might love each other,
that's
either morally acceptable or not even a moral issue. This is like the new twist in what we see is we're measuring morality. People are saying, you know, whether you cheat, whether you steal, whether you lie, whether you get divorced, whether you have premarital sex with somebody you're not married to, a growing proportion of Americans say, that's not even a moral issue. Why are we even talking about this? We've strayed that far.
So sad. We have. You know, I had a little booklet printed up entitled marriage and divorce and remarriage is still sin, and I offered people for a buck a piece. It's not pay postage, a little booklet, and I've had one person ask for a copy of this booklet. Now, it is very simple biblical teachings, and we see this being compromised in all the churches. I'm not just trying to pick a fight here, I'm telling the truth. But people want to make themselves righteous in their own eyes, and I guess hope that's good enough for God. But folks, it doesn't work that way. It's His way or no way. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes into the Father but through Him. It's His way or no way. So we're seeing this happen to the point now that we'll give up. We want to looking for a physical happiness and comfort, and we're going to do what's right because we want to be a good person. We want to fulfill our potential and do all the things we can to do what's right. And we don't need God really for that. Well, we believe in God and we believe in Jesus, but we're doing okay. We don't need all this other stuff. We don't need these moral absolutes. We don't need you to tell us about sin. Makes us uncomfortable. We want to hear that. But folks, if all you're hearing in your church is feelings, grace, and love, and no law, nothing to expose sin, as Christ said we had to, law brings us to knowledge of sin. Without the teaching of law, you don't need grace. You don't know you sinned. Without repentance, you don't need grace. And without the law, you don't know that you've sinned, so why should you repent? Folks, this is absurdity. Law and grace are not enemies. Law leads you to Christ and His grace. If it were not for law, you wouldn't know Christ or His grace. You wouldn't need to. Dr. Forrest, start preaching here. You go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm taking notes. I'm loving it, Pastor. I'm not going to cut you off. No, but, you know, what you're talking about here is something that I reported in this latest, research report, which is that when you look at all of these seductive ideas that Americans and Christians are buying into, you mentioned one of the things that they have in common, and that's that we want pleasure. The other thing that we see in common is that people want control. They think that they should be in charge of their own destiny. They think that they're the ones who can best determine their own spiritual formula that works for their lives. They want to be the ones who dictate the boundaries related to truth and morals and all the resources that God entrusts to us to invest for His purposes. You know, and that's just foolishness. It's not about us. It's really all about Him. We are the creation. He's the creator. He created us for His purposes, not our purposes.
Amen.
You know, our purposes are just to have fun and be happy. His purposes are to bring glory and honor to Himself and to advance His kingdom here on earth. And the more that we invest ourselves in that, the more joy we're going to experience because we are doing what we were created to do.
Well, you know, when we're out doing our own thing, we can have temporary happiness sometimes. We get a new car, we're so thrilled to have a new car, but after a while, the payment book's still there and the car's getting miles on it. That goes away. So you look in another direction, maybe a bigger house, maybe a swimming pool. You're looking for things to make you happy. And folks, happiness is fleeting. Joy and peace in Christ is permanent. The world can't touch it. You'll find out that you don't need a lot of things to be happy. You walk in Christ and praise Him every day for the food on the table or clothes on your back and the shoulder and your head over your head. Whether it's big or little or fancy or not, you're thankful for that. Your joy and peace will be unbelievably powerful in your heart. And brother, you know, just being a mere mortal like you and I both are, there are some days I struggle with myself and I get aggravated and frustrated because I see what's going on and I wonder what can I do more than I'm doing. Then I feel like I'm just going to quit and go fishing. But we know we can't do that. But that's just being human. That's being a people. But you overcome that through faith in Christ and one step more in His direction, don't you?
You do. You know, and at some point you've got to be able to sit back and say, well, what did Jesus call us to do or to be? And it's very simple. He called us to be His disciples. So is anybody thinking about what does it mean to be a disciple? You know, he made it very easy for His disciples, when He was teaching them, obviously they didn't get it. And so He dumbed it down for them. In the book of John, three times He said, you will be My disciples if, and the first time He said, if you obey My teaching. And then the second time He said, you will also be My disciples if you love each other. And then the final time he said, you will be my disciples if you produce much fruit. And then, of course, you know, in Galatians 5, we got Paul explicating for us what that fruit is. I mean, that's a simple recipe for what it means to become a disciple. Obey, love, and produce fruit. But then you got to sit back and evaluate yourself and say, so every day of my life, am I focused on obeying every one of God's principles and commands, on loving other people who love Christ, and producing fruit through the gifts, the abilities, the experiences, the opportunities, and so forth that he gives to me? That's my goal for every day. It's not to get a promotion at work. It's not to make more money. It's not to live in a better neighborhood. If those things happen, fine. But that's not what God's going to look at the end of my life. I want him to look me in the eye and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And the only way that's going to happen is if I obey, love, and produce.
Amen. Very well put. And that's, you know, and I know that personally speaking, I think that he said in the scripture, I'll say this, but then I'll move on. He said, if you love me, you will keep some of my commandments. Did he say, he said, you'll keep my commandments. Now that, folks, what is commandments? Now I'm not talking about the sacrificial law and the sovereign lamb. I'm talking about his moral commandments to follow him. If you love him, he said, you will obey me. He did. That's what he said. And he also said in the last chapter of Matthew, folks, we read this and we think, oh, let's go out and teach the gospel, preach the gospel. That certainly is part of it. But that is not what he said. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Mm-hmm. He said, teach them my laws, my statutes, and my judgments, and that's what you do. You can tell them about salvation, you should. That's vitally important. But folks, if you don't include the teachings and the commandments and the laws of God, you're not disciple that nation. You confuse that nation.
Yep.
And that person. Go ahead, brother.
And that's where we are today. We are a confused nation. I mean, when you've got, you know, I mean, just thinking about this research that started off our conversation, we actually have more people who believe in karma, and more people who are relying on reincarnation than we do who are relying upon Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. So you can't get much more confused than that.
Well, unfortunately, it's easy to believe that because what I call the public fool system, brother, over the last several years has done a good job in teaching the children there is no God. They tell them how to use condoms in the second grade. They teach them how to take them to have drag queens read to them in the libraries. And the parents go too. That's what gets me. But they've taught our children that there are no absolutes. That they've taught our children that our nation is no longer a republic. It's a democracy. We are seeing so much happen in this country during our time on this world, Doctor. I mean, I have to say, I grew up in the 50s and 60s. And I saw during the 60s, hippie movement, the free love and the free sex and the drugs, and all these things happening on my watch. And I didn't know. I was just a young'un, but nonetheless, it happened on my watch. And then we had prayer taken out of school. Then we saw murdering babies while they're in the womb. Now we have the homosexual moving in, taking over the country, literally taking over the country. Now we have the white race, the Caucasian race, being destroyed because we're haters. This has all been flip-flopped for a reason. And it's undermining whatever's left of our culture. We are seeing people fighting over the BLM, over the COVID mask and no mask, the vaccine passports. We've seen all this happen because Satan has come to divide and conquer, has he not?
He has. And I think if you had to characterize America by one thing today, I'd say it's a very deceived nation.
Amen.
We fall for lies day after day after day because we don't respect, we don't know, we don't pursue God's truth. And so what happens is those people who are lying to us, deceiving us, they are the ones who are amassing power, and they are destroying our children. And that's what
Amen.
Disturbs me perhaps more than anything else, because once they destroy the youngest generation, it's going to be very difficult to get this country back to a place where we love and honor, respect, and serve God.
I'm afraid we've passed that mark already. I pray not, but I'm afraid we have. And each generation has become more ignorant of the Word of God and truth in general. Let's take a phone call from Pennsylvania. Let's talk to Daryl in Pennsylvania. Daryl, come on in.
Hi, Pastor Butch and Dr.
Yes, sir.
George Barna, and I want to ask a few prayers for protection for those that are standing in the gap and making up the hedge. And so I would ask people to pray. We're told there's quite a bit in the Bible about praying for our Christian brothers and sisters. And I would ask prayer protection for Dr. George Barna and for Pastor
yes.
Butch Paugh, for the two courageous pro-lifers that have called into your broadcast that are standing for life, Gary Roby in Arizona, and Jeff White and his wife and 11 children that go out and protest baby murdering. The three courageous Canadian pastors that are being hassled, Pastor Otter Pawlowski and his brother David, Pastor James Coates and Pastor Tim Stevens, that are standing for truth and for their wives and children. And I would just also say that Pastor Butch has a track there about Did You Know? It's a four-page color track. I would ask people to call into Call to Decision Ministry and give a few dollars to help pay for the cost of the four-page track, Did You Know?, that shows baby pictures of babies being murdered. And also Chick Publications has a track number 1009, Who Murdered Clarice, which is a 24-page track, Chick track number 1009, chick.com, Who Murdered Clarice, 24 pages. It's a kind of important, folks, that they're, I think it's 65 million estimated, and maybe 70 million or so babies have been murdered, and that blood, innocent blood, is crying
Amen.
Out from the ground.
Amen.
Just like
Amen.
When Cain murdered Abel, that blood's all crying out from the ground to God. So I would thank both of you for standing for truth and for making up the hedge and standing in the gap and for exposing evil and serving as watchmen. So thank you both so very much.
You're
and
welcome,
God bless
Daryl.
You both.
Thank you. What a sweet call. Thank you. Folks, again, it's culturalresearchcenter.com. Culturalresearchcenter.com. Let's go next to Jan in Iowa. Jan, I don't mean to rush. We're running out of time. Calls line up. Go ahead.
Real quick, some news. Apparently, Biden is having his speech written for another lockdown. So nobody may be going anywhere without troops on the street now. Secondly, I think that people need to get out of the churches and get their Bibles and read their Bibles. Find one that is pre-1964.
Go back, 1611 is a good
Bible, folks. You have the 1811.
Yes.
I just ordered the 1560.
Mm-hmm.
Not 1560, yeah, the earliest one they had.
Yeah.
So
yep,
we'll go
I
back
agree.
And we'll compare them. Because anything after the 60s, mid-60s,
yeah.
is changed. They've altered it so much now that if you buy a new one, the truth isn't in there anymore.
No, it's not.
And
it isn't.
Read
and
it and
I
study it and ask
study
God
and
because...
Live it. Live it.
Right now, that's the only thing you can do is get closer and closer to him because
okay.
this is it.
I agree. Thanks for calling, Jan. I got to jump. Thanks for the call. Folks, again, I use the King James Bible 1611. I have no apologies for it. I found that it would be the Bible to use. I've seen lots of them, and I can show you the difference in all of them that are contrary to truth. Let's go next to Gary in Arizona. Gary, come on in. Welcome.
Hello, Butch.
Hello, Gary.
I want to thank the previous gentleman that called in and mentioned mine and Jeff White's name for trying to save babies. So we accept your prayers. We need them all the time for we're out there on the street, as you know. But what I called in about today was this to the doctor. Something that really bothers me, and I bumped into that right here where I'm at, for I went to several churches trying to get people to help me save babies. I won't go into that too much right now. But, you know, here's what I found to be a big part of the problem. These people, they will preach sermons, and they preach out of the Word of God. Okay, but it's a lot of times it is out of context. But the part that really bothers me is just about everybody within the congregation has the Word of God right in their hand. And so, you know, they can read it themselves. The trouble is, they don't.
Yeah,
and that's what I think a big part of the problem is. Somebody can preach a nice sermon. Anything from the Word of God is good. Okay, but it can't be taken out of context. So you have the book right in your hand, so you can read it for yourself. And I think people are, the church people are almost basically biblically illiterate. Because they will not
totally
take
agree.
The time to read
I
it.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
But I'll let somebody else get on here.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate Gary. And God bless you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you. Dr. Barnum, we're down to the last couple of minutes. What do you want to say in closing to the people? If this were your last time to talk to the world, actually, we get notes and letters from all over the world. What do you want to tell the people?
You got to go back to basics. I mean, what we like to do is we talk about the esoteric things happening in our culture, when in reality, you have to make sure that you know who God is, what his nature, his character, his purposes are. You have to have his Bible, read his Bible, study his Bible. You have to really build that into your heart. That is truth. And then be able to take that truth and convert it into behavior. I have an expression I use a lot, that we do what we believe. And I do a lot of research. I find that people say they believe a lot of things, but when you look at their lifestyle, it doesn't support what they claim they believe.
Amen.
I only know what you believe by what you do. So I'm
Amen.
Hoping that by knowing God and Jesus and the Bible and God's truth, you will prove to me that you are a follower of Christ. Not just tell me, show it to me.
What you're saying is, by their fruits you shall know them.
There you have it.
There, that's just that easy. We're down about the last minute, so Dr. Barnum, but I want to tell you, it's been an honor to have you, sir, and I do appreciate your time. I know you're up to your eyeballs busy every day. And I do appreciate your time and your effort, what you're trying to do. And let's do this again sometime in the future, because I really enjoyed this. I know the listeners have. Let's do it again sometime in the future.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it, too. Thanks for having me. I'd be honored to do it again.
Well, you have my contact information. If you need me for anything or anything I do to help you, just let me know and I'll be here, okay?
Likewise. Thank you, Pastor.
God bless, my friend. Thanks for being with us tonight. Folks, I'll tell you what, that was a phenomenal interview. It really was. And by the way, tomorrow night, we're going to have the gentleman on that is setting up the Bards Fest. We're going to have Scott Kesterson on of Bards FM discussing what's coming up on the last weekend this month. And you don't want to miss it. By the grace of God, I'll see you there. Have a wonderful night and a good day tomorrow.
On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Bethann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Bethann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.